afternoon, sir. What is your name, sir?
My name is Jerry Jacobson.
Mr. Jacobson, you have been to the Arizona Board of Executive Committee for your revocation hearing regarding the two allegations on your warrant. And based on information that the board has, you were notified of this hearing back on March the 2nd of this year. Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, I do.
And it stated among other things on there that you could hire an attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. Therefore, may I assume that you're going to represent yourself this afternoon, sir?
That assumption is correct.
And as you can see, there are four board members participating in your hearing this afternoon. And they are the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Jackson, the Honorable Mr. Neal. My name is C.G. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair. And the gentleman that I'm going to put the camera on there, that is Mr. Wesley. Mr. Wesley represents the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. I do take note that you do have a co-working friend here this afternoon as well. Ma'am, are you going to speak? Okay, to the three of you, when I say three of you, ma'am, Mr. Jacobson and Mr. Westby, do each of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to help you God, or do you swear firm?
I do.
Thank you. As indicated, Mr. Jacobson, you have two allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read each of them, and please tell me whether it's true or false once I read them. The first one reads, that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 is demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about January the 31st, 2018, per the TASC GCMS lab report dated February 7, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Thank you, sir. The second one reads that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 14 is demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete substance abuse counseling on or about February 5, 2018, as directed on January 23, 2018. Sir, is that one true or false?
That is also true.
Thank you, sir. Based upon the admission of Mr. Jacobson, we move to find that he is in violation of the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company. And that is my motion.
A second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by Honorable Mr. Neal, and agreed by Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. So you have been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision. Now we're going into phase two of your hearing, which is perhaps the more important phase, because in this phase, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to return you to the community. However, before we go further with phase two, we're going to get some information, some background information on you from the Department of Corrections, which will be given to us by Mr. Westby. And once we get that, we want to come back and talk to you before the board makes this decision. Mr. Westby, sir.
On July 18, 2017, Mr. Jacobson was released from DOC. He was arrested February 5, 2018 by DOC staff, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody February 5, 2017, with a projected CACD of December 18, 2018, 0 Scott days. Current conviction, 2009, aggravated assault, 1.5 years. 2009, dangerous drug violation, 6 years. 2009 theft, 10 years. Prior convictions, 2005, unlawful use means of transportation, 1.5 years. 2005, burglary, 3rd degree, 2.5 years. 2005, theft, 1.5 years. This is his second term in DOC, CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 2. STG gang information notes, he is a white supremacist and Aryan Brotherhood suspect. Prior term of supervision, 2007, TIS release of Snyder, 28 days, revoked by the BOC. Disciplinary violations have been significant with violence and drugs noted. Under arrest, 1991, decent exposure, Arizona, guilty, other sanction. 1992, sexual abuse, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2003, domestic violence, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2003, shoplifting, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2004, criminal trespass, second degree, Arizona. felony conviction, probation. 2004, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona, guilty under sanction. His community risk score is a G4B5.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Westbrook, for providing that background information. Based on the information that we have, when you were released, Mr. Jefferson, you were released to Oakland Tech PE at, I guess this is 2310 West Carpen and Tempe, and you established your residency at Leeway in Phoenix, and then you established your final residence, I guess, would have been at the Maricopa Reentry Center, and is that the order that you resided while you were out, sir?
Yes, sir, that sounds correct.
Okay, sir, and I do take note that if I heard Mr. Westbrook correct, you didn't abscond at all while you were out. Did you find any employment while you were out, sir?
Absolutely, both of those things are correct.
Okay, so what was your employment, sir?
I had two jobs while I was out there. I worked at the Hilton Suites downtown Central and Thomas. I'm a journeyman plumber. I did the plumbing there. When that job site was finished up, I went to cutting edge components on 16th and Buckeye, and I run a CNC machine and do some other work for them.
Okay, well, we commend you for being employed, because that's one of the things that we always look at, because it's very important for you to have a trade. And so you are you a tradesman when it comes to plumbing, or are you moving in that direction? What are your future plans in relation to that type of employment, sir?
That's an excellent question. I'm not sure if I'm going to be a union plumber anymore with the felony convictions and stuff, but I know I can land a service job where I, you know, come to your house, fix your water heater, slab leak, sewer line type of thing, and that's sort of like my dream job. That's maybe like 6 months standby for that. That's a midterm goal. I feel like, you know, there's a production line at cutting edge components that needs to get done, and you know, some other work that I kind of left unbuttoned there that I would like to finish up.
Okay, sir. Well, I know you do whatever you want to do. I can tell that you have the ability to do whatever you want to do in life once you get all of this behind you. I guess, you know, another thing, if we look on the program, sir, I'm a little concerned. I know that you failed to submit 6 UAs, and then you was positive for 9 times for THC, and you also tested positive for methamphetamine and well, amphetamine. Do you have a drug problem, sir, may I ask?
Yeah, I had planned to address all that when it was my turn to speak, and so this is my first time I've ever been to a meeting like this. I usually refuse these, last time I refused these because I'd rather just kill my number. Here, like, where I'm at now is I finally, like, have somewhere else to be than here on prison yard. And so, to answer your question directly, I got my medical marijuana card almost immediately when I got out of prison. I had it approved through my parole officer, Tom Crane. And so to say that I, violated my parole in some way, or to hold that against me that I was a dirty waiver task there, seems, I put typos because I'm trying to be very positive about this stuff, but I went through the arrest warrant, and there's about 15 things on here that I'm ready to address. That's one of them. I do have a card. I am sanctioned by the state to smoke medical marijuana. I usually eat it, but that's the cue from getting back on deal. I've been in a bad motorcycle crash a long time ago, and I got kind of strung out on, Oxycontin and stuff like that. When that shit runs out, what are you going to do?
Okay, I think you said you had something that you wanted to tell the board. Were you prepared to listen, sir?
Okay, like to start with some positivity here. I'm gonna just list some things straight off that I did well out there. First of all, and most important, I reestablished my relationship with my son Matthew. He lives in Tucson. I've been gone pretty much his whole life, and so it was cathartic to be able to see my son, and I think for him too. I maintain gainful employment as a plumber at the Hilton Suites, and also, like I mentioned, cutting edge components. I did obtain my driver's license. I only missed curfew one time when I had the ankle monitor on, and I called my parole officer to let him know that I was helping somebody move that night, and it was going to be a violation on my ankle monitor. I showed up to the parole office every time they called me. I never, you know, scouted. I never gave them any kind of gap. They called me, I come down there. I UA'd task every time. I do have almost in parentheses because, like, if I forgot to call one time or twice, my parole officer would call me and say, hey, man, you need to get down there, and I'd be like, you know, okay, no problem, I'll go down and handle it, and then I would, regardless of, you know, what I thought the outcome of that test was going to be. I visited Gordon at St. Joe's is what I listed here, and what had happened there was when I went to live at V-Ray, I ran into a guy that I knew from the yard, and his name was Gordon Johnson, and I was like, hey, how are you, Gordon? And he was like, not good, man, I got a brain aneurysm cut out of my head, and I'll circle back to that later. Now, I did graduate from a 14-day program at MRC. As you can see, I cut my hair. It was very long and a little hard to get a job. I shed my nickname. This might not seem like much to you guys, but, you know, here I've been introducing myself a certain way for, you know, basically a decade, and the first time somebody asked me, you know, or I was introduced to people out there, I almost didn't know how to tell my real name. Instead of, what's up, I'm Mikey, it was, it's nice to meet you, my name's Yari, you know. And so, I went to all my classes in CHC, I'd never missed a one. I didn't do any new crime, no guns, no violence. I lived at V-Ray as directed, which I don't know if you guys know this, I-17 Camelback is like the most ghetto halfway house you can imagine. I'm going to move on because I'm trying to stay positive. I went to all my classes at BBC when I lived at V-Ray. Their money comes from a place called BBC, and I went to every single class there. I did enroll in the 90-day program. I had a choice on that. You can call down there and ask Catherine Nisbet, the main counselor. She was like, she told me there's a broken little boy inside me that I need the 90-day program. And I was like, that's about a hard sell right there. But I did sign up for that of my own will. I took care of Jennifer's insulin. What I mean by that is my girlfriend is like super afraid of needles, and she is in desperate need of this insulin, so, you know, someone has to do it for her, and that's something I think I did well out there. Okay, this next one's a little strange. I was only with one woman the entire time I was out there. Again, probably some of you, that's not a big success, but, like, for me, my past has been not that great with women, and this is the first time in my life where I was true and solid with only one girl, and that she's sitting in the room today. I completed all my homework assigned by parole supervisor Lace, Kimberly Lace. She would sometimes, we would talk and she would assign like an essay or like a question that she didn't want an answer to, but she wanted me to really think about it and write it down, or sometimes it was like a pros and cons type of list. You know, I'll say for those people right there, I do think they were on my side. I mean, they gave me every opportunity. I did try hard. I did have a bit of a drug problem, but, you know, I'm over that. Now, some of the typos I want to talk about the thing that this is in the arrest warrant that I have here, like, so I took page 1, paragraph 5. The statement to Dave Cottrell, all wrong. I would never say anything like that to Dave. He was a great guy, and I felt like me and him were finally making progress. So for whoever wrote that warrant and chose my words like that was just out of line. Page 2, paragraph B, residence. It says, went out homeless, lived at home, got directed to move to Beaver and MRC. So, you know, I have a whole list of these, but it seems like, this seems like kind of going the wrong direction for what I want to do here. The next page I have here is something I have printed up here at the prison. This is a list of positive programming that I've completed and have these certificates while I've been here. I have a reentry, of course, here from Steiner. I have self-cognitive thinking, that's AO1, that must have been central unit, maybe. I have, self-cognitive on another yard. I have conflict resolution. I have thinking for a change. I have substance abuse twice. I have pre-release twice. There's another substance abuse. I don't know if you guys have this paper right here, but it's something that I was able to get from my counselor. You know, I have the exact same paragraph that the parole officer there read, and then, okay, so my last ticket in prison was January 9th of 2017. Like, okay, so there's that, there's some positivity there. I also have some letters here from the community. I don't know if you guys have these letters, should I read them, or how do we proceed there?
We just got them.
We have them, sir.
So can I read them, or is that
how we... No, each board member has the opportunity to read them. That's part of our responsibility, sir. So the board members are...
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. This is, ladies and gentlemen, of the prison board. I know how he looks on paper, but that is not the man Yari Jacobson is today. Prior to his release, and determined to succeed, he distanced himself from everything prison-related. He focused on staying out of trouble and staying sober, preparing for his life out here. He decided to move to Phoenix instead of going home to Tucson because he wanted a fresh start and to cut all ties from his troubled past. He knew I had been successful. I have been at my current job for 7 years and that I have been probably sober since 2005. This is why he asked if he could be paroled to my house. I have known Yari for almost 10 years now and I saw a huge change in him when he was released. He immediately changed the way he looked, spoke, and most importantly, his attitude. I knew he was taking this very seriously. Yari is a journeyman plumber by trade. After a few weeks to settle in, he was ready to work. He made 3 phone calls and had 3 job offers. He took a job with Athena's Plumbing, renovating the Hilton downtown, starting work at 6 a.m. the next day. He was given 3 raises in the first 2 weeks and was running his own crew. He is the hardest worker I know. When they finished that job and were waiting for the new job to start, Yari offered to help out of my work since we had a lost machinist, and since we had lost a machinist, and we're having trouble finding a replacement. We had a big job in-house that we would have lost without his help. He's a fast learner and excels at anything he puts his mind to. We are yet again shorthanded at work.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you 2 more minutes to sum them up, so we hear what you're saying, and we...
2 more minutes to sum it up, and you guys have read these letters, you guys have read these letters, or...
Yes, sir, we've read these letters, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna move on. I have no idea what you guys do here, but I want to show you a typical month in my life out there. Okay, this is the Hilton downtown. I just got off work, and this is one of my favorite pictures. I just got off work in the parking garage back here. There was like an ice cream truck. We shared Cherry Ninja, you know, civil things, okay? This is Gordon in the hospital. We had gone to see the Star Wars movie, and we showed up with these lightsabers. Everybody loved it. I almost got kicked out of the movie theater for having these, you know, these crazy toys, but at the hospital, we were more than welcome. You can see Gordon's pretty busted up there. He had like 138 staples in his head. A couple weeks later, here's Gordon again. I almost healed up and doing a little better now. From what I hear, he's doing good out there now. He's made a full recovery. This is me and my son. Well, we had him, we went to Hole in the Rock, something I didn't even know was there, but it's amazing. It's like a, you know, 100-yard hike or something, tiny little hike, and this is the view from the rock. You can watch a beautiful sunset from there.
Okay, one minute, sir.
1 minute and counting.
Yes, sir.
My son never caught a jack lantern, and I said, neither did I. And so I'm like, how are we gonna do, we went to try to get a pumpkin thrown, there we are. It's like mid-October into November, I believe. So, yeah, we were picking up a puppy dog one time, this is a gift for Jennifer's daughter Beth, who is here in the next picture, we're at Cave Creek. There's me and Beth and Jen, where it's like a street fair thing they have, there's some pig racing and stuff. This is the first time I've been swimming in 10 years, it was when I graduated from the MRC program, I was pretty proud of myself in this picture.
Okay, so we're gonna have to move on, because we do have comments, and we have a number to do today. So you have an opportunity to make a final statement to the board, but before we go any further, let's see if any board members might have any thought. But before I do that, I want to take some additional information coming from Mr. Westby. Mr. Westby, start.
Yes, I just want to provide some information to the board regarding the allegation on page 1 that Mr. Jacobson felt was inaccurate. I'm looking at a promo note from Officer McKee from MRC and the ITH program that's dated February 5th, 2018, where it's stated about substance abuse counselor David Cottrell spoke to Jacobson about his 30 UAs. He admitted his first increase in THC levels was due to having an animal delivered. He admitted his next UA would be positive again for more things because he continues to use here on site different drugs on site. He's manipulating other clients to get them for him. And then it continues on, most of this is already in the warrant, and says the risk of the entire campus is too great with this individual on site. I am requesting that he be discharged from ITH tomorrow instead of waiting until Wednesday. Sincerely, Catherine Nesbitt, Substance Abuse Clinical Supervisor for the ITH program, Maricopa Reentry Center. So this did come from the clinical supervisor.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Westby. Board members, do you have any questions at this time for Mr. Jacobson? I don't see any questions at this time. Therefore, at this time, I will invite your friend and crew up worker, if she would come forward. And ma'am, well, remember that you are still under oath. And first of all, please state your name for the record. Yes, ma'am. And welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. And what do you want to tell the board this afternoon, ma'am?
You've already been voted from my boss, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Since you've already been letters, I just want to reiterate that even since this letter, we've lost another employee, so my work is really hoping that you see it fit to give him another chance, because I can prove work tomorrow. I do want to reiterate something that he did that he never scouted. Every time they asked him to show up for anything, whether it be MRT, everything was voluntary, he never once hesitated about showing up. So, I mean, the risk of him, you know, I just don't think it's that risky for you to put back out there knowing that he'll show up no matter what he has to face. He's just a good guy, and I've known him, like he said, for 10 years, and I was, you know, along with him as he prepared to get out and make sure he was sober so long out before the gate and make sure he backed away from all of those people. He did not associate with one person when he got out. He moved up here to get away from Tucson, and the officer were asking, well, has he been hanging out, but he has not hung out with one person from prison whatsoever since, you know, until they make him go to be brave. There was obviously people there, but he has no desire, and his focus is completely on his son, who we have every other weekend. The only thing his mom asked us is if they were consistent, is what his ex asked us, which obviously we haven't been because of all the hiccups, but I know that he'll do whatever, more testing, more classes. I just hope that, like the first gentleman said, Peabody is so full of drugs, and like I said in my letter, when put to the, when going to staff and asking for help, they told him just to handle it himself. So I just hope that I've got a safe and sober home. I just hope that they give us another chance at that so that he could be away from the violence and the drugs there. And I mean, he is so employed, it's ridiculous. He's got a job no matter what. So I just ask that the court please give him another chance.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Turner, board members? Yes.
Is your residence for 2310 West Carson?
It is.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Any further questions about board members? No, thank you so very much, Ms. Turner.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Board members, any further questions for Mr. Jacobson? I don't see any. So you're coming towards the end of your hearing. This is your hearing. We're going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board. I know that you articulate well, but again, I'm going to limit you to 3 minutes. for your final statement to the board, or after we get your final statement, then the board is going into discussion, and then it's going to make its decision whether to continue your community supervision or to revoke your community supervision. So I'm going to give you 3 minutes to sum it up, sir. It's all yours, sir.
First off, I love you, Jennifer. Thank you for everything. And tell Jose too, I hope to be there soon to help you guys with that production line. Mr. Westinghouse, I got all this titles on that thing, and explain the calling me on the medical marijuana thing, calling those dirty ways. Okay? I'm ready for anything. I don't know if any four of you know what it's like to be lost in your own hometown, not even know who you are anymore because you can't just chin check somebody and it's a dead issue. It was like a whole learning curve out there, and I mean, I may have run into some triggers in the house on the wrong way, but coming back here right now with what's going on, especially here at Steiner, it's been a real eye-opener for me to know that, I don't want to spend the rest of my life like this, and I'm ready for whatever. Do you want to up my frequency of task, if you want to, we go to classes, whatever it takes to get back to work, get my bills paid, take care of my son, and, do the right things about him, then so be it. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you so very much, sir. Sir, and at this time, the board is going into discussion. May sound like we're talking to you or to your fiance, Ms. Turner, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves, the four of us. Just talking, this will be the first time that we've had an opportunity, that we will have had an opportunity to discuss your case, because we operate under the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona. We do not do any discussion outside of this room. Everything we do, and we ask that you stay on the phone so that you can hear everything that the board says, and that's the way that we operate. Now the board is in discussion, so we're going to ask if you would remain quiet at this time, but to continue to listen. Board members, I find Mr. Jacobson to be a very interesting gentleman. I think that he feels that he's ready to really get back out in the community. I think that as one board member, and we all of us speak is just for ourselves, we don't speak for each other, one board member, I do want to commend him for being able to get employment while he was out, and to find employment once he was out, and to maintain his employment. That was a positive. Another positive was the fact that he did decide to come up to Phoenix rather than remain down in Tucson, and to be able to spend time with his friend, Ms. Turner, who I believe is trying to keep him on the right track. I still have concerns, and I know that he feels that some of this is exaggerated on the warrant, but on the warrant, the use of methamphetamine, he says that he has a card for marijuana. I'm not going to question that. If he has it, he has it. Therefore, I'm not going to question marijuana. But I am concerned about the use of methamphetamine. I'm also concerned about the number of UAs that were missed. And we do not write the warrants. We just provide information that we have that's presented to us. The offender failed to submit 6 UAs on July 21st, September the 13th, November the 27th, November the 29th, December the 21st, and January the 19th. Those were a number of UAs that was missed, and that's always suspicious, not to say that something did take place, but it's always suspicious when UAs are missed. And when when it's also stated that he admitted, I believe himself, that he had used some methamphetamine, and that's something, well, he at least tested, but let me take that back. He tested positive for the use of methamphetamine on January 31st, 2018. And when one is on community supervision, one is not supposed to really use any illegal substances whatsoever. Therefore, as one board member, I'm not prepared to move or to bring him back into the community, but I am prepared to listen to other board members before we go any further, board members, in further discussion. we don't see any further discussion about board members. Therefore, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Jacobson violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that he was delinquent, and my motion is going to be based upon information contained in warrant number 2018W0356, as well as testimony coming from Mr. Jacobson, as well as information coming from the Department of Corrections. And my motion is going to be to revoke his community supervision based upon the same. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Mr. Neal, and agreed by Mr. Rittenhouse. Sir, your community supervision has been revoked. You will be out on December 18, 2018. I hope that you do not see this as a negative, but we want the best for you.
I'm not seeing it as a negative. It sounds old time, like you're running already made up, and now.
You're hearing this.
I don't know what else you want out of me. I don't see it as a positive, that's a negative, and that's still all you're gonna do, you can be all right.
So you're hearing this, all right. Thank you for your participation. And thank you, Mr. Turner, as well. Thank you.